Welcome to the Student Press Law Center podcast for November 2010, a monthly rundown of news about legal developments affecting the student media. The Student Press Law Center is a nonprofit source of information and advocacy for the student media, and we work to break down the barriers that prevent college and high school journalists from doing their best work. For more information about the center, go to www.splc.org. I'm Frank Lamani, Executive Director of the Student Press Law Center. Thanks for joining us. It's hard to pick up a newspaper these days without, well, actually, let's face it, it's just hard to pick up a newspaper these days. Journalism, as we've all known it, is going through an economic sea change as people's reading and advertising habits evolve with technology. The upheaval impacting the professional media industry has spilled over into the classroom, with some school districts withdrawing financial support for journalism education. The state of Kansas is on the verge of defunding journalism as a vocational program because of the scarcity of good-paying jobs in the field. Add this on top of the well-known censorship issues afflicting scholastic journalism, and it is no wonder that some of the best and most experienced teachers in the profession are starting to feel like worn-out punching bags. Well, a group of current and former high school journalism educators has joined forces with the journalism school at the University of Nevada, Reno, to do something to counter all of the negative forces afflicting their field. They formed the Scholastic Journalism Institute, or SJI, which is kind of a think tank that is working to call attention to the importance of journalism education in preparing young people for citizenship. The SJI has put out a white paper on its newly launched website, thinksji.org, that equips teachers with the strongest arguments to help them make the case for why journalism still has value, even if the balance sheets of newspaper companies don't. If it is possible to win a distinction in the field of teaching journalism, then our guest on the SPLC podcast today, Mark Newton, has won two of them. His accolades include the 2009 Pioneer Award, a career achievement recognition given out by the National Scholastic Press Association, and just last week he added the Medal of Merit given to only three teachers nationally by the Journalism Education Association. If they gave out Purple Hearts for journalism, Mark would have one of those too. Mark teaches journalism at Mountain Vista High School in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, and has held many positions of leadership within the National Journalism Education Association, including chairing that group's Teacher Certification Commission. Mark Newton is part of the founding team of veteran educators who put together the SJI project, and he is here with us to describe how SJI came together, where it's going, and how it fits into the future of journalism education. So thanks for being with us today, Mark Newton.
Thank you for inviting me, Frank.
Mark, can you tell us, for starters, where did the idea for the Scholastic Journalism Institute come from, and what are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Well, the idea came from the idea of I was reading the paper one day, and I saw this thing called the Aspen Institute. And if you know anything about the Aspen Institute, it's a kind of a think tank on big issues facing the world. And I was really intrigued with the idea that here's an organization that would bring in some of the best minds and say, here, tell us what you think about a particular issue. And it just got me to thinking about, well, why don't we have that in scholastic journalism? So it really kind of came from there, that idea. And I went out to a couple of advisors that I knew that were a little bit more experienced, kind of like myself, had been around for a while. And I just threw out the idea. I said, what if we talked about these things? And one of my ideas was that sometimes national organizations or even colleges or institutions may be too big, and they're not nimble enough to tackle some of the problems that really do need to be tackled at a local level. And so after thinking about it for a while, it was like, let's try this. And I went to Steve O'Donohue in California, who may be one of the best fundraisers in the business, who is a great thinker and knows lots of people, and I said, what do you think? And he was like, this is a great idea. We have to do this. And he had just happened to have a conversation with the University of Nevada, Reno, Jerry Seppos, the new dean there, who said, I really want to be involved in scholastic journalism. I think it's really important. And so he put us in touch, and one thing led to another. And at one convention, I think it was in Portland, I think last year, we said, let's just try this. And Steve was able to find some funding for a one-year plan. And lo and behold, Jerry was like, yes, I want to be involved. And we met in last summer in Nevada, Reno, and one thing led to another, and here we are. One of the things I want to also mention about the Think SJI initiative or the Scholastic Journalism Institute is the idea that really when we met in Nevada Reno, we had two purposes. One was not only to come up with an issue facing scholastic journalism and try to solve it, but also the idea of how do we build the Scholastic Journalism Institute. And when we talked about it, we really talked about a couple of different things. One was we wanted to match up young advisors with their energy and their enthusiasm and their creative thinking with seasoned veterans who have been teaching for a while, advising for a while, and kind of had some experience. And we wanted to have not only the experienced advisors share that wealth of knowledge, but also create some energy with new advisors who could also think about issues differently than maybe perhaps the old guard did. So that was one thing that we tried to do. And the other thing that we really wanted to do was this initiative, our first initiative about saving scholastic journalism, could literally have been anything. We just felt like after we had talked to different people that any other initiative would be kind of putting the cart before the horse, that we really needed to step up and save our programs before we tackled other initiatives or other problems facing scholastic journalism. The last point I'd like to make about the Institute is that it's really about a two-year commitment, and then we hopefully that builds longer and it becomes part of the passion that we have for advisors, supporting and encouraging and enabling that their colleagues. After 2 years on the Institute, the plan is to say you walk away from at least the Institute and can keep your initiative going, and hopefully you'll take it and it will become your baby. But we also wanted to bring in six more advisors who could then tackle another initiative. So one of the things we talked about is it might be time for us to say, hey, look, it's time for a national tinker standard. It's time to quit fighting this battle state by state. Perhaps we should fight it from a national level. What if six advisors took it upon themselves to say, we are going to commit ourselves to try to make this happen? We just chose saving scholastic journalism because it was such a big deal, and we had just talked about it at various conventions and thought this was important.
That's a really interesting structure. So in other words, the thought is that the founding members of this stay with it for a finite term and then hand it over to another group who would then pick it up and might pick a different issue to run with.
Absolutely. And one of the things we really think about that is imagine what the different landscape of scholastic journalism in 10 years, when you've got five groups really working on five distinct issues that are all important to what we do, all important to our kids, all important to our programs, we really felt we could make some substantive change by doing that.
Very interesting. So in terms of the role of Nevada, Reno, and the journalism school there, is their commitment one that you understand to go beyond 2 years? And how are they going to fit in with the work of the organization?
Well, they're committed for the long term, and they're really – Jerry Sipos is an absolutely fantastic guy. He's got a wealth of experience, and he's got different connections all across. That's also a Reynolds school. So they actually have some connections to funding and other things. But just like everybody else, initially, the funding part of it has really become the big factor. They're committed to a meeting place. They're committed to helping us make sure that we get reduced rates and types of things and no space and no payment for meeting space. They also were very kind and helped us out with a little bit financially, but not a big deal. Most of this came from a very kind gentleman, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but Steve O'Danny does, who said, here's $5,000. He's a publisher in California. Most of this funding came from a publisher in California who thought this was important. We hope that our collaboration with the University of Nevada, Reno, will also lead us to additional funding from other grants, other foundations, and those things. We also hope that eventually, if we're lucky and we're fortunate and things turn around, that University of Nevada, Reno will actually be able to step up and help us with funding. But right now, that's not one of their commitments. It's
right.
Just the fact that they've encouraged us to be there. They're giving us a limited amount of support in terms of a contact, somebody there to kind of help organize things. And also, they'll give us the expertise of their faculty. and anything else that we might need in terms of educational support while we're working through not only this initiative, but hopefully future initiatives.
Well, obviously you're active in all of the other major journalism organizations. So how do you see the SJI organization fitting into that universe? And do you see it in any way as a competitor or a rival to some of the national organizations like a JEA or like an NSPA?
Not at all. In fact, we're not even close to being a rival or a competitor. We're there to maybe push them a little bit, to prod them a little bit, to encourage them to commit maybe some of their resources to supporting either this initiative or that initiative or anything else going on. And there's also some great minds and some great thinkers. Everybody who's a member of the initial group of the Scholastic Journalism Institute is also a member of JEA and a member of NSPA, and we're not anyway competing them. But we're just simply really thinking about a grassroots movement that says, hey, look, six people may be able to make more change on some of these issues than an organization of 3,000 or a group of publications, you know, that come together around a convention or two, that we really think that that may be something that what we can do, we'll be nimble, we'll be flexible. We won't have to ask and go through the procedures for board motions or those things. We can just do. And hopefully that will allow them to see some of the benefits that we're doing. We would expect that if we went to them and said, hey, what about this? They would be, yes, that's a great idea. And we certainly wouldn't put them in any position or any choice or any negativity. Our involvement with the Scholastic Journalism Institute is just, hey, maybe six people can make more of a grassroots change than a big organization can.
Well, you spell this out very well in the white paper that's on the Think SJI site, but just very briefly, you know, give us an idea of from where you stand and with your experience in the industry, what do you see as the threats facing the scholastic journalism community and the teaching of journalism?
Wow, one of the key principles of a good reporting is follow the money, and I think that's exactly where we're getting to in a situation like this, is that school districts and states are strapped for cash. They're strapped to say that they can continue to offer programs. We know that electives are always looked at as maybe, you know, that one part of the school that we would like to do, but we really don't think is important. And we felt like when we looked at the 21st century skills, when we looked at state standards across the country, when we looked at our new grade level expectations in what we're supposed to be teaching our students, that journalism was mentioned in some form or another in nearly every one of those things. And for people to say that, oh my gosh, we can't find time or space or money to support journalism, was kind of like, then you really can't fund it for grade education. So when we looked at it, we said, well, yes, it would be about money, but what if we could prove that if there's one thing you had to save in scholastic journalism, or excuse me, the one thing you had to save in education was scholastic journalism, because it did so many of the things that you want your students to be able to do when they graduate. And we operated from that principle that there's no better course in any high school that teaches the things that people are demanding, employers and colleges are demanding of their employees or their new students, than scholastic journalism. And so we kind of want to lay that out, and we wanted to kind of show that this is a place that you can go if you feel like your program might be in jeopardy. You may think that they want to combine two classes, or what are the possible solutions that you can have. And Think SJI, at least our current white paper, was there to be that one place where you could go and say, hey, here's some ammunition to fight for not only my program and my kids, but what is good education.
Well, you mentioned the idea of grassroots advocacy. Is that sort of a deficiency you see there now? I mean, do you think, frankly, that journalism educators haven't maybe been as effective at making the case to defend their own programs as they could be?
Well, I think that when you get in this case where now everything is on the chopping block and every potential class has to go through, do we have some way of measuring student success? I think, yeah, it's probably a little bit more tenuous situation. I don't know, necessarily think advisors or journalism teachers haven't been doing that. I know there's case after case that we've learned of teachers who promote their program, who push their program, who demonstrate excellence every day. Their kids do, and their communities are aware of it. But we also know that there is just some teachers who don't have the time, you know, or the resources or the knowledge to be able to do those things. So what would, imagine if you knew, for example, that there was a colleague down the street who might lose their program and you reached out to them. Or what would you do if you were a colleague who was in trouble and you knew about the Scholastic Journalism Institute? If you knew about the Scholastic Journalism Institute and you could go there and say, these are some practical things I can do to help fight that battle. And I also think that if there's any teacher in any high school who is overworked and underpaid, it's going to be the yearbook and newspaper and broadcast and literary magazine teachers who are not only teaching that class but also have those constant, consistent deadlines and that drive for perfection that probably many other programs in the school don't, and that accountability piece where they're publishing something or broadcasting something where there's really literally kind of no place to hide. So the pressure on those teachers to do one more thing is really intense, and maybe our website and our initiatives can help them say, hey, look. And I also think that sometimes there's this notion that journalism is this old model, like a newspaper that arrives at your doorstep in the morning, or it's the 6 o'clock nightly news. And that really journalism is not so much that product, but it's a way of thinking. It's critical thinking, it's demonstrated communication skills. And if we can demonstrate that we're doing those things that those employers and those schools want, then maybe people will just take a step back and say, that's one place where we can't cut.
That's great. Well, if people want to get more involved in the work of SJI, you know, maybe become one of those grassroots warriors that's out there fighting to preserve scholastic journalism, how can they do that?
Well, the first and most important thing to do is go to the website and just explore, because there's lots of good resources there. And there's a ton of information where you can not only have access to, but you can contribute. What we hope is going to happen is two kinds of people are going to come to the website. Those who need help, and they're going to find the things that they can do or the things that, or the information that they need to save their program, but also those who can help. So maybe you have a good promotional PDF, you know, PowerPoint presentation, or something that we can post on the website that some other teacher across the country could adapt. Maybe you have already aligned your state standards to journalism, the things that you're teaching in your beginning in your advanced journalism classes. Maybe you've already done that. And another state can look at those and say, hey, here's what Colorado did, or here's what Indiana did, or here's what Kansas did. And then if I'm in North Dakota or Washington or Florida, I've got that opportunity to go there and say, wow, look at this. Or if I need to go meet with a parent who's questioning whether or not their son or daughter should be in journalism at the expense of something else, that you can show them, you know, the Dvorak study that says journalism kids do better, or you can show them how you're going to meet the National Council of Teachers of English requirements in your class. So there are those things that we've had that they can go to, and hopefully people will start sharing information. And imagine one website with all of that there, the power that alone would make.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Mark Newton of the Scholastic Journalism Institute, and best of luck with this important and timely project. And you can follow the work of the Scholastic Journalism Institute on their website, thinksji.org. Of course, we also hope that you'll use, enjoy, and share the resources on our website, www.splc.org. Subscribe to the RSS feed for SPLC news alerts. Become a fan of the Student Press Law Center on Facebook, and follow SPLC_org on Twitter. And if you are a student journalist or a journalism educator with any question about your legal rights, call our hotline at 703-807-1904 or email us at splc@splc.org. Thanks for listening. Thank you.